Well, welcome everyone to the Graveyard Shift. This is episode or shift number 9, and we are glad you're here. Again, the purpose of this podcast is to help share some ideas with you and provide some inspiration on how to improve your funeral home's operations. We also want to help you connect with more families out there in the marketplace. This podcast is brought to you by Passari. So my name is Todd Carlson, and I am glad to be here. And I am thrilled to be here and hanging out with my friends here from across the country. So I am the Chief Sales Officer for Directors Investment Group and our family of companies, which includes Passari, Funeral Directors Life, and ClaimCheck. So we've got our cast back for another round, another shift. Number 9, as I've already said. And we got Matt Bailey. Matt, say hello all the way up there from Bailey Family Funeral Homes in Connecticut.
Good to be with you.
All right. And also with you. Gary Freitag from Spring Grove in Cincinnati, Ohio. Gary, say hello to our listeners.
Welcome back.
Say it like you mean it, Gary.
No, really. Welcome back. But... both of you.
I'm not feeling right. It, guys. All
right. And we've got our paid-for counselor on staff here on the team, Jimmy Lucas, here from Fort Worth, Texas. So, Jimmy, thank you, and appreciate the absolution of our sins in advance. So,
carry on.
All right. Hey, we, again, want everyone to know throughout the podcast, if you've got something to share, something to say, or a great idea or some feedback, please send those to us here at thegraveyardshift@passari.com. We'd love to get your thoughts and your ideas about what we're talking about. And also, if you have any ideas for future episodes, please let us know that. And today, Gary's taking complaints because we know that's his strong suit. You know, send him his way, and he'll be happy to help you. You know, we talk about this a lot on here. It's just hard to be a funeral professional right now. You know, it's more complicated and harder than it's ever been. So hopefully some of this content and these conversations are going to help our listeners in some form or fashion. And also, if you feel like you benefit from your time here with us on the Graveyard Shift, you know, make sure you share us, like us, and comment on your favorite podcast platform. And we do read those comments and take them very seriously. So, you know, I was thinking about this this episode, guys, and kind of preparing here. You know, I've a little over 35, 36 years in funeral service, and I've probably have met thousands of funeral home owners over the years. Probably can say I've only been thrown out of one funeral home. And but hey, we resolved that conflict, and we now have dinner together on a regular basis. But
I told you, you're welcome back anytime, Todd.
So thanks, Jimmy. I appreciate that, man. You're such a good man. And there was, did I fake that well?
That was good. That was good. We'll work through it.
W.C. Field said, "If you can fake sincerity." All right. Hey, but one thing I'm always asked, and you guys are probably too, as you're talking with your friends and in the profession is, you know, I hear this, what's new out there? What's new out there? And so I got to thinking about some ways our listeners could probably work to get some new ideas. And I know that all of you participate in at least one study group. And I know I hear you talking about your experiences in those study groups and the value, of, I should say the value of those, of your experience with your study group. So I thought we should take a little deeper dive into the study group concept. So I just wanted to throw out this, Gary, you know, to quote Gary, very quotable man, you know, you've said that funeral service, just to ask a leading question here, that funeral service is unique from your perspective because of its hyper-local nature of the business. Can you start us off with that concept and talk about how that might build a bridge to the study group idea?
Well, absolutely. And I don't think, you know, we talked earlier the last episode about if you're in the smog all the time, you don't recognize it, right? It just becomes part of the environment. And I'm not from this profession. I didn't join it until my mid-40s. And I didn't really recognize initially how much this profession shares. So the general rule of thumb is cemeteries will draw from up to 15 miles and maybe funeral homes up to 10. Depends on driving times. The distance isn't the best example of that. But beyond that, you don't compete. And the only other profession I'm aware of that the same thing is concrete, because there's only so far you can drive a concrete mixer before it turns into concrete, right? So This profession, and we're also empathetic, we're also caregivers. The highest priority is making sure the service for the family goes off as well as possible. So we're willing to share. Should I speak slower? Sorry, Matt.
No, that concrete thing is a good point.
Break that down. So, wanted to know your mixture of concrete.
Yes.
What do we?
Matt's now trying to figure out how to work that comment into a conversation he's going to have today about how do I work a concrete mixer comment in.
So. Concrete's two syllables, it's not hard, Jimmy. Not concrete. So my point is, I didn't recognize this when I first joined the profession, but I spent probably 3 years flying around the country just going and talking to people and the things they would share with me. And ultimately, I ended up joining 4 different study groups. They're all CEOs. They all have different makeup, different rules, different processes. But it's amazing what you can learn. I mean, for somebody to say, hey, I don't really need to do that. I know what's going on in my market. Well, when I joined Spring Grove, the cremation rate was 40%. It's now 66%. And to be able to go to states that have been at north of 70 for 2 generations and how that changes the landscape and how it changes consumer preferences is invaluable. And, I've said this before. There's a famous quote by, I think it's from Mark Twain, that says, if the end of the world ever comes, I'm moving to Cincinnati because it'll happen there 10 years later. And it's true. We're on the second wave, right? And I've talked to people nationally about this, but in Cincinnati, our population is made up at 70% white, 25% black, 5% everybody else, Hispanics, Asians. And to be able to go to the West Coast or the East Coast and how focused those organizations are on marketing that's very specific to a given ethnicity or background or religion or whatever is eye-opening. And so I found it invaluable. I think it's the single most important thing that I do in terms of making those connections. And the output of that is not only what you get out of the study group, it's you throw some kind of chaos like COVID into the world. I've now got 60 people. And literally, I had 60 people on email chains going, oh, what are you doing about masks? What are you doing about social distancing? How are you handling quarantining? All of that stuff, to have that many different really bright people given their perspectives really helps you say, okay, I have at least a sense of, all right, this is where the playing field is and I'm standing on solid ground. Maybe I don't react exactly the way, or maybe my market's a little bit different than somebody else's, but it's absolutely invaluable to be able to get that input in real time. And those people will respond. You ask them, hey, I need an answer to this. Mm-hmm. Most of the time I get a response back within a couple of hours, as opposed to trying to figure it out yourself. So in terms of just priorities, if you're coming into the profession, I would put the highest at either a study group or some of these national organizations that provide education like NFEA, ICCFA, CANA, those kinds of things. The speed at which you can climb the learning curve is really unlike any other profession other than maybe healthcare.
Yeah. No, that's phenomenal. Thanks for that. So, Matt, why do you participate in the study groups that you're active in?
I mean, I think it's just – what more could one say? Gary's nailed it. Yeah. It's done. No, I think no.
That's
I think
a wrap. Sorry.
It's several things. I think it is, as Gary said, is one of the best ways in order to learn and to network and to resource things. So also a big thing for me is accountability, because Jimmy and Gary and I all participate in the same study group, and everyone has to give a presentation every single time. So you know that, you're going to be meeting twice a year, and you're always thinking ahead. What am I going to talk about at the next meeting? And you're challenging yourself. You're thinking, sometimes it'll be built off of someone else's presentation from a year ago or something like that. And you say, well, we finally decided we're going to do something about this, and we did our own plan, and this is how we did it. And an example of that would be, we never had vehicle trackers on any of our vehicles until one of Gary's associates from Spring Grove did a presentation on vehicle tracking and how it'll alert you that the battery is at 10% So when you have a cold night coming up, you don't walk in the morning and find the hearse is dead because the battery died and things like that. So another example, we had someone in the group that talked about the importance of working with a public adjuster. If you have an insurance claim, if something happens, I think their facility had a fire and they talked about what the insurance company offered them versus working with a public adjuster. Well, we had a flood that just went from the third floor of our building down all the way to the basement, and it destroyed a prep room. And that was a major expense. And it was a similar type of situation where if I mean, the difference in the insurance claim alone will more than pay for every expense for me to be involved with the study group for the rest of my life. I mean, it's just like, it was just taken care of. But that was like just such information that, you know, I didn't really know about public adjusters. I'm an undertaker's kid. It wasn't my area of space. I just figured if something happened, you call your insurance agent. So every time you go there, and especially if it is a larger group and you're getting all those presentations back to back, you're always getting takeaways. Everyone's taking notes as they go along. And if they need to tap into their note, they're able to do that. So for me, it's been invaluable as an investment of both time and resources and energy.
Man, excellent. Hey, Jimmy, what could you add to that?
Well, they mentioned the three of us met in a study group called Death Care Management Council out of Florida. We meet twice a year. And it's a place to come together to talk about best practices, the best things we're doing right now individually. And it's something I look forward to every year. I know, Gary, you're part of a cemetery one all on your own, and Tom Antrim who was on a couple shifts ago. Tom's the current president of Selected Independent. I'm also a part of a group called The Council, which is a real small group of family-owned operators. And they all do something a little different, and it is the best thing I've done for my business, for me. Because there is no holdbacks. You will get feedback, and you get feedback from people that have been there and done that. And so it's something I look forward to, and I'm always a little nervous, you know, when you get up and speak in front of your peers like that.
Well, it sounds like you get some really good feedback.
I'm a solid C student. It requires a lot of feedback.
Awesome. Well, hey, one thing I was thinking about, though, is if you think about many of our listeners might be going, well, I go to conventions, I go to my district meetings. I mean, how's a study group different from a standard association meeting?
Way more intimate, I would say. You narrow your scope of conversation, the one-on-one time, whether it's in the meeting while you're taking notes on presentations, but you're usually going to dinner together, and so that conversation lends itself to carry on. Like, yeah, Gary, you talked about such and such in your presentation. Can you help me with how you did that and how it worked? Because the truth is, Gary could be doing something that I really love, but my culture does not align, and there's no way that would ever work for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it opens the door for not just a good practice that Matt's doing or Gary's doing, but maybe it's something I need to change altogether within the culture in order to harness that great idea.
I think there's also an intentionality about it. And because it's not a one-off, I mean, there are people that maybe they do go to the convention every year or something like that, but it's a different experience between walking around on a floor, trying to look at products and then sit and listen to a continuing education and things like that. I mean, the ongoing, you know, discussion and the continuation of those relationships over a long period of time, it just changes the way you interact with each other. Mm-hmm. And as you know, Jimmy and Gary, I think both kind of highlighted it, even the after hour session when you're at dinner or, you know, you just spend 8 days and 8 hours in a room listening to back-to-back presentations all day long. You would think that people would leave the room and say, like, I'm mentally fried. I don't even want to even talk about funeral service. And it's just not the way it is with the people that are there. It's people who are passionate about what they do. They're fascinated. They're interested. They want to learn more. So they're not sitting around just talking about their favorite baseball team at that point. They're actually following up in those conversations and saying, like, you know, you talked about this and we want to delve deeper and I want to know more. And, well, what do you think about that? And, it's, it's, uh, it's a whole different environment and a whole different aspect. And I think it's because you're just so intentional about the purpose of why you're there and what your goals are.
There's one other thing that I want to mention before we move on. And that is, it's not just the victories. If you go to presentations at the, you know, the conventions and that, it's look what I did with this. Look how fabulous this was. What you're going to get in some of these study groups is, this is a bear trap I stepped in, and man, did it hurt. Don't go this direction. If you're going to try that, great, but don't go here, because that's the pit of despair. So you're going to get the vulnerability. You're going to get the, hey, I wasn't smart enough to figure this out. Maybe you can, but boy, did I bruise, you know, did I walk into a brick wall trying X, Y, or Z? Because they will be that honest.
Yeah. Well, that's great feedback. One thing I was thinking about is, you know, to kind of get picking your guys' brains about this, is what makes for a good study group?
I think a diversity of operators in terms of their styles and their mindsets and their approach to things. I mean, I think we've got folks that we all know who are very, very old school and people who are very, very progressive. We have people who are very high end and people who are very discount. We have people who are corporate and we have people who are independent. We have consultants, we have vendors, we have other people who are involved in different parts of the space. I think trust is essential. I mean, we understand when we go in the room, people are sharing things and they're being transparent about their numbers, about their finances, about everything, I mean, their operation of their business. And it's understood when you go in that room, you're not taking pictures of other people's slides. You're holding all that information in trust and confidence so people could share freely and honestly and clearly to be able to learn best from each other. So those are a couple different things, I think.
Yeah. Anything you guys would add to that, that makes, in your opinion, for a great study group?
Jimmy?
Colonel Frotag.
All right, I'll talk. You know, I love the sound of my own voice. I actually run two of these now, and some of it has to do with commonality as opposed to diversity that Matt brought up. So I run a study group now that's nothing but historic cemeteries. And the focus of that and the discussion points are very different than the group that we all belong to, which is much, much, much more diverse. So it's a level of expectation. And I couldn't stress it enough. When I open those CEO group, when we get together once a year, I open the meeting with confidentiality, a reminder. Because you get so close to these people and you're so free with sharing information, every once in a while you forget you're talking to somebody that's not in the group. And the example I use is, we've had one violation of confidentiality, and it was something totally off the wall. It was somebody sharing that their son-in-law had their first grandchild, and somebody in the group knew the other side of the family, assumed it was public information, and said, congratulations on your pending grandchild. And that they hadn't, the daughter hadn't talked to her mother yet. So it was not business. It was not, you know, but it was devastating. And that's what I use to remind people. You got to be really careful about sharing information without getting the authorization of the person that shared it with you. So if you have that, you have that as a foundation, it makes the study group that much more powerful.
Mm-hmm. Was it your child?
According to the DNA test, no, but I spent a lot at the lab.
Oh, sorry. That was low-lying fruit.
No, that's kind of funny. It's like the guaranteed negative COVID test when you leave Mexico back in the day. All right.
Yeah, right.
Manana.
So
they put those tips really deep.
hey, one thing when you think about some of the topics that you guys have covered in the study groups that you work on, what do you personally find the most valuable when it comes to content?
So, for me, when people are talking about the best thing they're doing right now, sometimes, as Gary said, I think it was Gary that said, it's what they didn't do right now, right? Mm-hmm. To avoid a pitfall. In another group that I'm in, the main focus is really like, let's talk about your critical issue. What are you really struggling with? And the whole the whole premise is you're to treat everybody in this room as if they're your board of directors.
Yeah.
And so it becomes very intimate in the sharing. And because sometimes those conversations, some people's most critical issue is not related to business.
Mm.
And so you have a group of people in that room who understand the day-to-day of your challenge. And sometimes that has nothing to do with funeral service. And so we help each other unpack that and talk about that. And those conversations don't just go over into dinner. Sometimes they go over into weeks and months and following up and coming back together on a phone call or email string. And so it feels really good to know that you have another group of people that do what you do and know the stresses of your work and what your end result is to serve other people. But also you're able to unpack you a little bit in a safe spot. And that feels really good to me.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thanks. What about the others? You know, what do you really find with the most valuable when it comes to a study group?
I think it changes every time. I mean, is whatever you bring when you're going there. I mean, if you're having issues with one particular subject matter, it changes. I mean, on some days it might be, legal compliance issues. And other days it may be human resources. On other days it might be, physical plant items or, financing or, it could be almost anything. So, every time you come, whatever your freshest challenges are, that's what you're really keeping your ears attuned for. And that's what's guiding some of your informal conversations after hours as well. When you find someone more experienced than you, and how have you been doing? Well, tell me, here's my struggle right now. What are your ideas? What are your thoughts?
Isn't there something, Matt, I think both of you guys kind of alluded to it, but that having a tribe, right? Having your tribe that you can that trust, that you can be vulnerable, that, they share, the understanding of you and their your business. Right. And I also think, when you drop the masks, right, and you get behind everyone's mask, which you guys, I'm sure, do in your own study group, the value of being able, the freedom of being able to be honest with people and to receive honestly from people, I would imagine would have to be one of the most valuable things that you guys experience.
For sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so, it can be humbling.
Yeah. Jimmy, is there, I agree. Can be humbling, but we need that, right? We all need that in our life.
Amen.
Just a reminder for our listeners, though, if you have a comment that you'd like to leave it, please do so on your favorite podcast platform or drop us a note at the graveyardshift@pisari.com. What would your response be to funeral directors who don't believe study groups are worth the time or the expense or the investment?
I doubt you're changing that mind. it probably extends into other areas as well. I think it probably extends into education. It probably extends to training. It probably extends to all sorts of things. So I would say good luck,
Yeah.
I think it's you get out of something what you put into it, which would make me believe that they really didn't put a whole lot of effort into that group.
Mm.
Well, yeah. I can tell you.
Wait for Gary's honest, truthful response here.
Okay.
Look at his job. Yeah.
Well, first of all, you're right. If you go into the mentality that I already know everything, that's going to permeate the rest of your organization. And the earlier question about what do you get most out of it, I get one of two things. One is everybody goes into these meetings with their own blinders on, right? This is my experience. This is what I know, quote unquote. And I love the presentations that knock the blinders off and go, wait a minute, you never thought about this. And the other one, the intimacy part and the comfortability part of comfortability. I just made up a new word. Fantastic. The comfort level you have that you can share and be vulnerable. Let me know how to spell that later, Jimmy. It is
with a K.
I'll give you an example. The most meaningful conversation I've ever had in a study group was I had a child going through mental health issues, and I felt totally alone. I felt like a bad parent. all of the things you go through when you have a child that's struggling. And of the 12 people in the room, six of them had had children go through the same thing. And to have that level of reinforcement that, hey, you're not alone. This happens all the time. You're going to get through it. It'll be better when you get through the other side of the tunnel meant the world to me in that moment. And so it's not just professional. And for somebody to say, hey, I already know everything. I'm too busy. I've got too many issues here is just you're throwing away a lifeline that could really help you. So I would encourage you you need to get outside your own walls just to get that perspective, because nobody knows everything. No one does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's one of the things, because, Gary, you talked about our profession being hyper-local. That's one of the biggest challenges. The person that in your community is most likely to share that you have something in common with from a business perspective, you're least likely to share with that person that you even know them, because you are – it is hyper-local and hyper-competitive at that level. So, man, you have to step outside your own locality. And I made up a word, too. We're going to make up a word today. But out of your own local environment to get that feedback. So that's great, great advice. If you were to think about study groups, you talked a little bit about the importance of confidentiality, but are there any other downsides that come to mind? I mean, why would someone not want to join a study group? Is there any reason for that?
Permanent damage to your liver. No. Look at Jimmy's wall. That's all you need to see.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. Do you guys see any downside? I've never walked away from a study group that didn't add something to the equation. I don't see a downside. Maybe you could say if you're really struggling financially, it requires an investment. But beyond that, there is no downside from my perspective.
The only thing I would be able to think of was if there was a personality conflict with people and it was like a toxic environment or something.
Yeah.
I don't think that would probably be more specifics than the broad concept.
Yeah.
Even like Gary said, even if someone did have a financial downside, to be honest, I mean, I remember a few years ago, a friend who had a lot going on, at his operation was just like, I don't know if now is the right time for me to leave. And he ultimately decided it was exactly the right time to leave. And he thought that he actually needed to be there more than ever because it was a chance to get some clarity, some perspective from people who were not in the trenches with him, to give him some insight and help develop some paths forward. So the same thing with Gary. I mean, maybe they have financial issues, but maybe they're there and they're talking to someone else and they're like, well, here's how you're wasting money. And here's how you got to increase revenue, or here's how you got to, what you could do to try to get yourself out of this situation. So, I don't look at it as a cost. I look at it as an investment.
Absolutely.
I don't see a downside. I mean, I had a guy from our study group text me yesterday. We went back and forth on a topic of something he's working on, and I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It transcends a moment in time. I mean, you're building relationships that are only going to better you as a professional and maybe a human, but certainly your business and the families you're serving.
Excellent. That's great stuff here, guys. And, just one thing I'm kind of thinking about here is, what are your study groups that you work on? How do you keep things fresh?
Well, if it's, for instance, DCMC, it's the topic is always the same, which is the best thing you're doing right now, which in and of itself is always renewed, right? So DCMC meets twice a year. So there's a lot of moving parts on what's new for you. I typically run into the problem of I don't know what to talk about because the time's pretty limited. So I'm trying to squeeze 10 things into a presentation, and it's hard to answer that question because I've just never run out of, best things I'm doing right now. And they're not all good, but it's things you're trying, right?
Yeah.
Right? I keep a to-do list. I keep an ongoing running list where I just add things to it as potential topic ideas. And then it's part of my ongoing list of things that I'm working on.
I usually just present on whatever Gary presented on the year before.
Yeah.
And, and I took
it from
concrete. Concrete drafts quick.
You guys are going to want to get a pencil out for this next thing.
I don't think I've ever had a group where the topics didn't vary enough that you didn't that there wasn't, you know, an evolving set of topics. Every once in a while, you can have somebody in the group that gets repetitive, and then whoever's running the group has to go and say, look, I need you to move on from that, or, hey, we need you to broaden the list of things you're talking on because you've covered that ground. I've only had to do that once in, what's it been now, 22 years of being in study groups where I had to go back and say, look, yeah, we've heard that presentation before. Let's find something different. So, but in general, as Matt and Jimmy said, it doesn't happen because the nature of the study group is you're working on whatever's mm-hmm. the next thing or whatever the thing you yeah. just finished. Hey, this worked, or yeah, this worked kind of, but not here.
Yeah, no, that's great. Great feedback for our listeners. So I think a lot of our listeners are thinking about, the fact that this, this sounds great. I mean, gosh, you're talking about something with very limited downside, right? Other than a breach of confidentiality sounds like the biggest risk. So when you're thinking about, your journey in your career, what point did you realize in your career that you needed help and that a study group would be a great way to do it?
I was in 11th grade.
I don't think I even knew what a study group was until I was invited to one, to be honest with you, for the most part.
Right.
I knew in theory they existed, I guess. But, for me, it was a mentor who I met invited me to come along and be a guest.
Who invited you, Matt?
Ernie. Ernie Heffner invited me. Yeah.
Wow.
And I came along, and I remember being in the room and seeing people who had so much more experience, and I knew as soon as I was there that I had a lot more to learn. I think I knew that even before I got there. I was always someone who was interested and felt like there's the opportunity to learn more. I just found a lot more value from that than going to conventions and reading magazines. Not to diminish that, not to say there's not a role for it, it's not important, but it's kind of like an associate's versus a doctoral degree. I mean, the quality, the quantity of the information was just so different. So.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thanks. Anything else anyone would like to add to that?
Gary, you lead two study groups. Is that what you said?
Yeah. I didn't start by leading them. I got pushed into
You missed a meeting
before you had to take
You missed a meeting and you were appointed.
There you go. Yeah. Everyone anyone interested step forward and everybody else steps back. Yeah. Well, for me,
I think about that and I just, how do you do that?
It's easy. You're leading a bunch of smart people, but I actually joined the first study group I joined was Young Entrepreneurs back before I was in the profession. And I kept telling myself I didn't have time for this. I think it was 4 hours a month. And I was in the middle of, running a company that was struggling. And that was so powerful and so valuable. I learned the power of the study group. And then But that was people from, that were all running small companies, a lot of them family owned, but they weren't in the same profession. In this profession, I defaulted into, because my predecessor was part of cemetery council, I became a member sort of as he was passing the torch. And it immediately clicked as soon as I went to the first meeting. And so from that, and then it was just who I met and who kept saying, hey, you need to join this group. You need to join this group. And, for me, one of them that I think you're still involved in, Jimmy, which is council. I was in for maybe 6 or 7 years, and that wasn't a good fit for what Spring Grove does. It's a great study group.
I get that.
But the way I described it is we were the purple squirrel in that group, right? We were a combo that was cemetery driven, and the rest of that group was mostly almost 100% funeral and very funeral driven. And so the purpose behind it and what the initiatives were kind of almost inverted from what we're trying to do. And so for me, I learned a lot and I liked the group, and it's a bunch of very, very smart people, but for Spring Grove, it wasn't as good a fit as some of the other things I'm doing. So At the end of the day, it's absolutely invaluable, and I kind of, as you two both said, defaulted into it or fumbled into it. But once I was there, it was, oh wow, this is fantastic, and how do I expand that reach? So that's sort of my personal experience.
Oh, great. Yeah, well, that's excellent. You know, I thought this was an important topic to throw on the table because, you know, we're in convention season in a lot of states right now, and that's a very valuable, as we've mentioned, aspect of the educational process that we all need to stay sharp as a professional. And I just want, you know, I appreciate the time sharing your study group experience. I think that's another extremely valuable way to continue to improve as an individual and as a funeral professional and a cemetery professional. And I want to thank you guys for that. And I thank you for your continuous learning. And thank you for your commitment to that, your commitment to sharing your experiences here, because I do think my experience is that adults like to hang out with other adults and talk about stuff and share, right? You know, conventions have their place and they do good work. But it's different being talked to instead of being talked with. Right. When you can be in a conversation, a two-way dialogue that has a layer of trust and a layer of accountability and a layer of understanding and a layer of friendship and caring, I think would be, knowing you guys that you wouldn't participate in a group that people didn't care about each other in that group, too. I think that it's a recipe for success. So I just want to say thank you guys for that. And I think at this point, you know, I just want to say, man, another great discussion with you guys. Thanks for sharing your knowledge about study groups. I'm going to encourage our listeners to find a study group and to reach out to their associations and their organizations and find a way to get involved. And also, you can create your own study group, right? Find like-minded. When I say like-minded, I mean people who have a desire to grow and learn, in the profession, and reach out to some people and figure out, you know, if you can work on something. Because I think if there's a will, there's a way. And I think we've got to continue to push our profession forward and share these great ideas that funeral home owners have. So thanks, guys, for sharing. And I want to do this. Hopefully, again, all of you had a great experience listening today. Like, share, comment on your favorite podcast platform. Order your Ranger College hat for Jimmy. Harvard used to give away free hats, but now they don't.
So, no, they're poor now. You know, they can't afford those things.
They can't afford that anymore. So,
hey, and I'll give a shout out. If it wasn't for one of the leads of our study group that we're all three met in, Ernie Hefner, we wouldn't have met. We wouldn't be here. So,
absolutely true.
Thank you to Ernie.
Man, that's great. Hey, so thank you all for another time here. By the way, please don't keep this podcast a secret. Be sure to share us and to talk about these important things that we're discussing. With that, take something you learned today and put it to use. Have a great day.